Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
It's snowing outside.
It's snowing again here in Denver, Colorado.
It sure is. It's cold.
It's actually quite nice because it's not like a super
bitter
flurry. Yeah, I mean it's bitter. It's a bitter cold.
Sure.
But it's not crazy.
Right.
But tonight, you know, you get to see some snow.
Yeah. Good time.
All right. There you go. There's some snow. Drove around it a bit today.
Mm-hmm. You know, we went to a special kind of holiday market today.
We actually had kind of a
weird weekend.
Yeah, we did.
Enjoyable.
It was an enjoyable weekend, but we had some stuff we were doing, so it was fun. Did we do something on Friday? No, we didn't.
No.
We watched The One.
We sure did.
In honor of We Hate Movies for their episode coming up.
I saw that in the theater.
You sure did.
Just letting everybody know, I saw that in the theater back in the early aughts.
I'm surprised that's a movie I didn't get around to seeing
Surprised because holy shit, the nu metal in that movie.
Well, it's one of those things where here's the thing about nu metal in movies. Not all the time do you know that it's going to be in there.
That's if it's true. And it's pretty egregious in this movie.
Oh, yeah. It's super egregious. I mean, it's a lot of basic, but it's a very, how would you say it? It's a very common swath of nu metal because you basically are just, they're just messing with Disturbed and Papa Roach and Godsmack, you know, stuff like that. But it was never on my radar. I mean, it's not like a movie like Heavy Metal 2000 or Dracula 2000 because those are new metal movies.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Or Queen of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't fuck with that one, which I've never seen, by the way.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah.
It was garbage.
I actually do want to see that. I think I hopefully sell on Netflix, but so we watched that and, you know, watched other few dumb movies. We just actually finished watching the Teen Titans movie again because that was up on Vudu.
That's a good time.
That's always a good time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun to watch it at home, too, because you get to kind of pick up on some things that you didn't get to pick on before.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, for instance, Bawana Beast is in there watching the movie.
He sure is.
And as is Black Orchid.
Yeah.
Which is, there's a few surprising faces in there, which, you know, it's not surprising considering there's... The whole point of that scene is like, hey, all these heroes, except for the Teen Titans, are important. Even these random-ass people like, you know, the challenges of the unknown. You know, so, but I thought I was pretty entertained by that. There's also a scene in there. And real quick, by the way, I did post a picture on Instagram. If you follow me at Angry Hero Sean, I posted a picture of that movie theater scene where you can see all the heroes and stuff and all the people. And you just there's some people in the back that I don't recognize because I think somebody actually suggested maybe it might be cast and crew or just people that, you know, like I'm certain like there's a Dan Didio character in there. He was like, I don't have a wife. Don't talk to me. Or, you know, Jeff Johns, you know, or something to that effect. So, yeah. You can definitely, that's a good one. There's also something in there. What was I going to say about it? So there's this joke in the beginning. And I'm trying to think if I can remember correctly.
It's a boombox carrying pies.
Right. And he's walking out of a bakery and he goes out into the street, into the sidewalk, and he's greeted by one of Robin's knives that he uses. That's because it's just sitting there. It's like just kind of hovering there.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I remember. At least that's how I remember
it. I thought it was a kid that saw him. Like it was the kid walked by and he's holding the balloon.
No, that's the scene right after because then the kid's holding the balloon when the balloon monster comes in.
Yeah.
But right before that, there's a scene where a boombox is walking out of somewhere holding a bunch of pies. And I'm like, that's got to be some sort of a really obscure DC gag that I have not yet picked up on.
Right.
Because the only thing I can think of when regards to pies is when Lex Luthor stole 40 pies.
Yes, he did. He stole many, many pies.
He stole many pies, which somebody actually went ahead and cosplayed.
Which that guy won cosplay.
Fucking brilliant.
That's it. That's the end of cosplay. Everybody else go home.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty good.
I think I posted it on our page.
Yeah, we definitely shared that, but yeah, it's pretty. It's a good movie. We also watched Tag.
Fuck Jeremy Renner.
I don't understand. I'm actually surprised by your vitriol for Jeremy Renner.
I can't explain it. I just don't like him. And it was like, Tag is one of those movies where I'm like, oh, it has a bunch of people I like. And also Jeremy Renner. And like, every time he shows up, I'm just like, oh, and he's here to ruin this scene.
I don't understand.
I don't either. I just don't
like
him.
Because he's not like,
I don't like him as Hawkeye either.
He's kind of a sleepy guy.
It's not
I think that's maybe it. It's just he's not
smug.
I don't know if he's smug. He just doesn't.
He just comes off smug. I don't know. I can't tell you. He's just blech.
Interesting. Blech. I'm not like a part of the Renner Henners.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
What's a Renner Henner? Is it just like a bunch of middle-aged women who really like both hens and Jeremy Renner?
Yes. Well, the Renner Henners, they're like, Renner Henner.
Let's talk about our chickens, but also our love of Jeremy Renner.
It's like this. Fan club. There was this wrestling. Actually, this is why I love Kevin Nash. Mm. Real quick, wrestling story. There was a meeting. There was these women. Like a couple years ago, there was a video, like a bunch of photos that came from a fan club of a bunch of basically middle-aged.
Well, they're probably his age.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, Kevin
but they were supposed to say they weren't like young models and stuff like that.
No, they were probably girls. When he was wrestling, when he first started out.
They seemed a bit older.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. When he first started out.
Oh, yeah, back in the 90s. Like early, like 98, 89, 90.
To be fans of him as all of them have aged, including Kevin Nash himself.
Right. But they all, like, just look like a bunch of, you know, regular, like, ladies. Yeah. And so there's this picture of it. So there's these photos of Kevin Nash. It was like, there's maybe, like, 10 of them. And Kevin Nash is there. And he's just taking pictures with them, and they're having a night. You know, it's like just one group picture of them, you know, and everybody was like, oh, look at this. Right. But then, so I guess somebody recently brought it up in an interview, or somebody was talking to him about it. And Kevin Nash was like, hey, I had a good time. All right. Step the fuck off.
Good for him.
And I was like, fuck yeah, Kevin Nash.
Well, yeah, those women were his fans, and he probably had a really good time meeting them and being supported by them.
Yeah, you see, like, it's like, man, you know. So I imagine that's what Jeremy Renner has. He has the Renner Henners. There's a group where we're going to see, you know, and so we're going to see pictures of Jeremy Renner taking pictures of a bunch of women at a VFW post, enjoying a nice pancake brunch.
Sure.
You know,
who doesn't love a pancake brunch?
I don't know. Hopefully Jeremy Renner does.
Yeah. But
hopefully he'll show up and be like, look, I'm actually Hawkeye. I'll shoot those pancakes with an arrow.
Boo.
I'm just probably just like your
go vitriol. Back to your farm.
Sorry. Do you hate him because he's Hawkeye?
No. I have no problem with Hawkeye. I have a problem with Jeremy Renner.
Okay.
So we watched that. It's an absurd movie, but it's fine.
Well, it's absurd.
John Hamm is in it, and really, that's all I need to know.
John Hamm's in it, but he's really kind of not in it.
He's
like, he feels like he's there.
He's on the periphery. It's just kind of one of those, like, John Hamm wouldn't hang out with these people.
No, he wouldn't. I would. I mean,
but honestly, he probably would because he hangs out with comedians anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, same. But like
in the movie.
In the movie.
Yeah.
It seems weird because it's
they're all supposed to be childhood friends, and like Hannibal Buress is there, and I'm like,
Hannibal Buress is younger than us.
Hannibal Buress is younger than we are, and John Hamm is about a decade older than we are.
John Hamm was on Studs
in the 90s.
No, he wasn't on Studs. He was on a different dating show.
But he was on a dating show in the 90s.
In the 90s.
So he was probably in his like early to mid 20s at that point. Yeah. We were still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
John Hamm is about 8-10 years older than we are.
Yeah.
And Hannibal Buress is younger than us, but they were supposed to be, like, growing up together. And I'm like, okay, movie.
Yeah, sure. Right.
Whatever, casting director.
Yeah. I mean, Hannibal Buress does kind of skew a bit older, though, when he performs. I don't know. I just feel like he could definitely have that.
Is he one of those people who's just like, you just don't know how old he is?
I mean, you probably do, but he doesn't really come off as being older or younger. He just comes off as being as, like, you know.
An adult,
but he still can be a younger guy because, you know, he's on Broad City. And he
but
dates
even
Alana.
On Broad, even on Broad City, he plays like a guy who's a couple years older than they are.
Right, but not yeah, but not by much. No, but at the same time, but then he's also. But then you're also supposed to believe. Well, here's the thing.
He played a dad in that one movie we saw.
Oh, that's right. And
he was married to.
Is it Daddy's Home? No.
No.
Oh, Blockers.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's. I forgot.
It was June Diane Raphael's husband.
Husband
in that movie. Yeah.
Right. Right. But yeah, no, he's. But I mean, it's funny. There's
some jokes.
There's. I'm just gonna say right out. There's a third act cancer reveal.
Yep.
In this movie, so if you're like, oh, tag a fun movie.
No.
It's a third act cancer reveal, guys.
Yeah. Brace yourself.
Fucking get ready. And then we don't. And then it's actually.
It just ends.
It's almost like a cancer reveal, but it's almost like, it's so late. And
it doesn't matter.
And it's almost kind of like the room where it's like, I guess I have breast cancer.
Most
definitely have breast cancer. Goodbye, movie. You know, and it's like, you know, and then Tommy shoots himself, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry for spoilers on The Room.
Yo, yes, I'm sure everybody here was like, I really wanted to know how The Room ended.
Because I was thinking about watching it seriously.
So we watched that, but we also went to a comic book convention this weekend.
We did.
On Saturday, we went to the Rocky Mountain Comic Book Convention.
Uh-huh.
Rocky Mountain Comic-Con, which was up, if you know anything about Denver, it's kind of like in Aurora/Denver by the old Stapleton Airport.
Mm-hmm.
In an Embassy Suites.
Fancy.
So we went there, and it was very small. It was actually smaller than the one we went to, the San Diego Comic Fest or whatever that was.
You think?
Yeah, because it was only one room. That one was...
But if you think it the room... Okay, I'm going to say it was probably about... If you combine those two rooms, I think it's about as big.
You think?
Maybe a little bit smaller.
I think it is, because they had a much larger main room, and then they had the offshoot rooms.
Right, they did. But the offshoot rooms are basically
I'm just saying they had a larger main room. This one was not nearly as big.
Right, okay.
So it was small.
It's definitely smaller than the Pasadena Comic Con, which was kind of similar.
Yeah.
That we went to.
But that was in the convention center, though.
Was it in the convention center?
Yes.
But it wasn't in a big room in the convention center.
Or was that the Palm Springs one we went to?
No, Palm Springs was definitely in the convention
center. Palm Springs was in the convention center. That's right.
No, the Pasadena one was definitely...
You're
it was
right.
either in the
You're
convention
right.
center or was
I
in
got them mixed up.
It was in something, though, but it wasn't the big room. It was kind of like... I mean, Pasadena was actually definitely bigger, but it kind of reminded me of that. But definitely reminded me of the San Diego Comic Fest where I was and I knew going into it because I was looking at how many vendors were there and I was like, this is just going to be a bunch of people screaming at each other.
And that's it was kind of like that. You did find some things, though.
Well, I liked it because, maybe it's just how it is.
We weren't there very long.
We weren't there very
maybe
long.
Maybe an hour.
Yeah, but think about a Comic-Con like that is... You know, there's probably not a lot of those that come through this way. You know, there's a Denver Comic Con, which we're going to have to go this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, there's not a lot of those things. So a lot of people are very excited to go. And so they'll cosplay.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get all worked up for it. And that's awesome. You know, that's great because, especially if you don't have a chance. We were spoiled in California where it was just a fucking convention every fucking week. You know, it's just, it's like, oh, we're out here in San Fernando. Now we're doing something in Pasadena, blah, 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 whatever. But it was pretty cool. It was cool, but it was also, it's always for me, when you go to those things, I always expect to see certain things in terms of vendors and what's being offered. And there wasn't a lot, any of that. Or not any of that, but there was, maybe in terms of stuff that we look for. You know, we like to look for boxes of comics.
Yep.
That are cheap. They're like, hey, these are 50 cents or these are a dollar. And there's, fucking 20 boxes, at a table. And there's just venues upon venues of that. And, just stands, all these sorts of stands. And there wasn't that really. There's a lot of people there, selling comics, obviously, but they were selling a lot of graded stuff or just stuff that
some of that stuff. There was one stand there that was so overpriced.
Yeah.
That I was like, you have to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
With these prices. Because I was looking at some of the Lois Lanes. They're not graded Lois Lanes. These were just bagged and board, which I've seen a lot of. And we're talking, some of these had $120 price tags on them. I have one that he was selling, and I think it was about 120. It might have been 80, 120, yeah. Around there. I have one of them.
Yeah.
I bought it for like $2. Yeah, now, granted, mine's probably not in as good of condition, but it's not in terrible shape.
Yeah, because you can't tell me and that the ones that
like,
they have.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'm like, this isn't graded.
Yeah.
This isn't mint. This is literally just bagged and bored, just like mine.
Yeah.
Mine might have like a little crease up at the top where yours doesn't, but there's no way it's that much more, like it's worth that much more money.
Yeah, because like there's
You're
some
out of your fucking mind.
Because some of those Lewis Lanes are, you know, we have, you know, some of the most of them are not in the best shape. I mean, they're together, mm-hmm. but they're not in the best shape. But some
sure,
of them,
but a lot of them are fine.
A lot.
I
of
mean,
them
they're in the same shape as the other ones that we have.
You know, I don't. That's the thing I don't understand about grading comics. You know, like. You know, sometimes, especially, I mean, I took those comics to that Hall of Justice place.
Yeah.
That guy was like, you know, he can look at things and you can kind of tell what's what.
Right.
But at the same time, you can't be looking at a book. You look at a book and you're like, you know, like one of our books and you're just like, oh, that costs this much.
Right.
Like, and I don't know. I just feel like a lot of stuff that, you know, if we buy it for cheap, obviously it wasn't that important. That's how I perceive it, and maybe we're perceiving it wrong because maybe there's a lot of books in our collection that actually are worth something. You know, there's a lot of stuff though, but like for instance, like there was a back issue in one of the stands. There was a back issue of Green Arrow that we have, where it's Green Arrow and Catwoman, and uh-huh. we think that they have sex.
Oh yeah, they totally bang.
Did we do that on the show?
Yes, we did.
We did. Okay, so it's a past episode and. We have that. And I'm certain that we bought that for a dollar, if not 50 cents, you know, at some place, mm-hmm. someplace, you know, and I'm looking at the box. That's like $5. And I don't know if that's something where they go back and you can look it up in the Overstreet. Is it the Overstreet? Whatever.
Mm.
The grading guide and just be like, oh, it costs this much. Great. It costs this much without actually grading it. And you're just putting it in like a sleeve and you're just like, here, great, $5. You know, I get really kind of like frustrated with that
mm-hmm.
when we shop and we're just like, it's like, really, you're gonna sell this to me like this?
Yep.
Yeah.
I do have to say though, that one stall where they had those extremely expensive books, some of them had tucked on into the back, like on the back side of the board, was a certificate that said they were from the IRS collection.
Yeah, you explained this to me.
So,
I didn't know about this.
I do, and I actually Googled it, so I'm going to share with it. So apparently, I'm getting this from Comic Book Spinner Rack, or moocowcomics.blogspot.com.
Moocow.
And this is from back in 2005. So the IRS collection is named because there used to be a person who worked for the Department of Revenue, so not the IRS, but whatever, named Alan Stubbs. And he was a huge comic book collector. And he had, I mean, probably, what did they say down here? Hundreds of long boxes, I think. So he had all these long boxes, and he worked for the Colorado Department of Revenue. And he realized, now, they didn't do background checks when he was hired, which apparently, according to this, was in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't catch that he had convictions for mail fraud and robbery on his record.
Yeah.
So, whatever, he started working for them. And he realized, as time went on, that if somebody had a tax refund for the state of Colorado and they died, they just never got their tax refund, obviously, because they were dead.
Yeah.
So that money apparently went into a one big account that the state never touched. So what he started to do is manipulating the system and forcing it to issue a check to himself.
Okay.
Or to the account, and then he'd either intercept the check and have it sent to his house. So he began diverting the funds in 1991, and nobody knew anything for a couple months because he kept the check small. Smart. But, of course, he started making them bigger and bigger and bigger because that's what happens when you're greedy. Eventually, he got busted. So when he was arrested in 1992, and I vaguely remember this from being a kid, he got arrested and he stole what they estimate from $150,000 to $500,000. He was charged with a felony and the state seized his property, because he like struck a deal. So he forfeited his collection to try to repay the Department of Revenue. And the collection consisted of 400 long boxes or approximately 60,000 comics.
Okay. Wait, so are we not to believe that he bought those comics using that?
Well, no, apparently he was a collector from before. But he struck a deal that he would sell off his collection to try to repay the state instead of having to spend 16 years in prison. He'd
I'll
only
give
get
you
4 years probation.
Oh, man.
So apparently he had a bunch of stuff. Detectives Comics number 38, Showcase number 4, in 3 freezers in his house.
Ooh, frozen comics.
Yeah.
How are they not just completely like?
Oh, I have no
fucked?
Idea. I have no clue.
Unless
but
if he had like
instead of auctioning off them separately and trying to figure out how much they were each worth or whatever, the state put them all up as one big lot, but nobody knew what was in it. So somewhere in Golden, RTS Unlimited, they took it, and when they won the auction, they call it the IRS collection. That's why you see that. Certificate of authenticity.
You should have called me over because I never.
I didn't.
That.
Well, I didn't know that would have had like the certificate of authenticity. So, but yeah, that's why that has the IRS collection in the back of that one comic book.
Now, does that make those comics worth more?
I doubt it because it's such a weird Colorado story. Because apparently, like,
but
the collection wasn't that great. Like, it was just a regular-ass collection. It wasn't, like, you know, a whole bunch of, like, you know, mint shit. It was just, like, a regular collection like we would have.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were like, meh. But
what do you mean? But he had some really good comics in there.
He had some really good comics, but, I mean, they weren't, like, anything super special. He had, like, a couple really good ones.
Okay.
But most of it was meh. It was just regular shit.
Most of it was...
regular shit.
most of it was Alpha Flight.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope both of us all have a flight.
But to try to make money, that's why that one, the place that bought it was like, ooh, IRS collection, here's your certificate of authenticity, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know, that sounds cool to me.
So yeah, so I did see some of those at that one stand where
they
were charging way too much fucking money for them.
Probably because it has the IRS deal on it. I bet that
No, not all of them. All of those comics were overpriced, even the ones without the IRS deal.
That's really interesting, though, but considering that this was, what, 1992, and
yes,
those comics are still in they're in circulation.
Still in Colorado.
Still, but probably mostly in Colorado. I'm certain maybe they're in different states now.
Maybe.
Which,
with the internet.
Or somebody who might have them might have took that thing out and just threw it away and be like,
yeah,
you know.
And you don't even know if that's real, too, because it could have just been like a bunch of assholes being like, oh, IRS, here's your certificate.
You know what I'm going to do?
Because it's bullshit.
Babe, here's what we're going to do.
We're going to put that in the back of all of our comics?
What we're going to do is I'm going to print out a picture of the wrestler IRS and put it in the back of all of our comics and be like, this is part of the IRS collection. Pay your taxes.
You're really funny.
And it's just people, and you know, when we sell our comics, when we give away comics, and people are just like, oh, what's this? And it's like, you'll see it.
If we ever start our comic book / coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. That's how you know you get comics from our store.
That's what's going to be in the back of each one of ours.
Because we're going to sell all the books we sell, even the new ones.
All of them.
Even
everything we bag and board is going to have a picture of the wrestler IRS.
You want that picture? Yeah, exactly. You want that new Suspiria Spider-Man or whatever.
We're just going to get our boards special printed with his picture on them.
Let's just do that.
Fuck it. That's so much easier than having to put like cut out pictures.
Yeah, that can get us in trouble though.
Why? It's just pictures of him.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you know, it's like you're
going to have to pay him a licensing fee.
Yeah, there might be something going on. Ah, shit. Maybe
we'll have to look into like buying the rights to one image.
Ooh.
That's like not super expensive.
These are good ideas.
They're really great ideas.
These are. So I purchased a few action figures because normally when they have those Marvel Legends figures, and if you go into the stores, you know, they're like 20, 25 bucks or sometimes, you know, I mean, it depends on what it is. I don't know. Look, I don't know what it is now. I went from like video games to kind of being like, I'm going to start buying some random ass toys to the point where I've actually been on eBay.
Mm hmm.
And I've made a few purchases just to see what it's like. You know, I purchased a Deathlok Toy Biz figure.
Mm-hmm.
Complete with gun. It looked really nice. And I was like, oh, this is nice. I will buy this. And then I did. And then I made a purchase for a U.S. agent. And mm-hmm. there's also a, this is actually a book I'm looking for. And hopefully I can get my hands on it, because we can do it for the show. It's for a toy line called the Power Lords, Adam Power and the Power Lords.
Oh my!
You don't probably remember this.
No, I know nothing.
But there's some shit. DC did a 3-issue run with that, and I'm hopefully gonna get my action figure because I remember it as a kid, and I found a random ass one. I think it's probably gonna come looking like shit.
Uh-huh.
Might have to give it a fig bath. I don't know.
Probably.
But I'm looking forward to it. I'm assuming if people out there know what I'm talking, there's some people that listen to the show probably say, oh, Adam Power, I am Adam Power,
Max Power.
That was his brother.
It's the power you love to touch. Max Power. Yeah.
So I've been messing around with that. But then I went to this convention and there, again, that's kind of with the overpriced thing. And maybe it's just how it is with certain figures, because I feel like I want to, I want certain G.I. Joes.
Right.
But you can't just buy, with G.I. Joes, I feel like you have to, buy a giant lot of them cheap and then just have a bunch and then do what you want with the others. But some guy was there selling, individual G.I. Joes, and they were, $8-$10 a piece.
Yeah.
Some of them which were broken, flat out broken. It's just hey, here's a broken one. Get it. Because, granted, you just need to get those certain rubber, those rings you put in there and stuff like that. Because, I've done that before. But, no. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer with that. But there was a guy stand there that had Marvel Legends for $10 a piece.
Yeah.
Which.
Only certain ones.
Only certain ones, but, in the box, boxed up and in the package. And I was like, all right, I'll bite. Because if there's something there that I wanted, I was like, okay. So I looked through. I found a Darkhawk, which I was actually very proud of because I've been planning on getting that one. And there was a Vision, but it was the old school. It was the, not the movie Vision, but the old school Vision, which I'm a fan of. So I was like, I need these. So I took care of that.
I bought a keychain.
And then Jen bought a keychain. I bought Batman, a glittery Batman key. Is it glittery?
It is glittery. It's purple glittery Batman keychain.
Yeah. So there were some decent vendors there.
I need something for my keys at work.
Nice. No. You gave me that, I think, did you buy it on eBay? That keychain that you gave me, the Wonder Man one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dr. Fate one.
Well, you get the Dr. Fate key fob.
Yeah. It was the one that had the string.
Yeah, with the string. Yeah. But you also bought me that Wonder Man.
Yes.
It was the first appearance Wonder Man, which I love.
That's right.
And it's on a domino.
That's right.
And it's a keychain, and that's where I used to keep my studio keys.
Yeah.
I used to keep my Sideshow keys on there, and now I have my Podcast One keys on there for when I need if I ever need them. So
yeah.
So I still have that. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
It was okay. It's just kind of a bummer.
It was kind of a bummer. We went out there and we were like, well, we were here for an hour.
Were done pretty quickly.
Because it's not a big room. We walked to the whole thing, and I was like, I'm not spending any, I'm not buying your Lois Lane for $125 or whatever. Fuck you.
No.
So we left, and we went down to another comic book store that had just opened.
Oh, real quick, I just want to point out, there was something else I wanted to say about that place. Well, we'll get back to it. We'll talk.
Yeah. So we, when we were driving...
Yeah.
I happened to see a sign that said comics, and I was like, wait a second.
It said comics.
I don't remember that being there. So on the way home, we stopped, and it was a store that had just, it was comics and collectibles or something.
It's called, I got it right here. That's why I need my wallet. Yeah. See, it says Cobalt Comics and Collectibles.
And it had literally been open for not even 2 weeks.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that. I don't think it was even less than
that. Oh, he said a week and a half.
Yeah.
So we walked in, and they had some... obviously some collectible statues and some comic books, stuff like that. But they didn't have a ton of inventory. Obviously they had just opened.
Yeah.
So, but it was cool. It had a lot of stuff. It was nicely organized and nicely laid out. The guy who owned it was there. He was a young guy.
His cat Brandon.
Seemed cool.
Nice kid. Nice dude.
So yeah. So we'll have to check that out again for sure.
He's got some Warhammer there. So if you like doing Warhammer.
Yeah, he's definitely got the little, what are they even called for setting up tabletop games.
Yeah.
All that little stuff.
Yeah. So there's some.
It was cool.
And there's some variety. He's got some Marvel, some stuff on his racks. There's a few stores that set that up where they set up key back issues up on these racks.
Yeah.
and you know, you'll look around and you can see them there, and you know, you can check them out. But I mean, brand new store again,
yeah.
Cold Belt Comics and Collectibles,
yeah.
In Aurora, Colorado. So if you're interested in checking out a new store, you can check out that cat. Yeah. I mean,
so check that out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like being able to find new stores.
Yeah,
I'll always give a place a shot.
Yep. And then we went to Second and Charles again, and Sean bought some comics.
Yeah. See, Second and Charles, man.
What a place.
That place.
Every time I go in there, I walk out with like four books, at least four.
Well, it's...
I think I walked out with about nine this time.
The thing that's great about Second
and... I spent $30.
Yeah.
That's what's great about it.
The thing about Second and Charles, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, there's a lot of stuff. Like, if you go often enough, you'll see the same stuff there. Because if you're there, because obviously if you're just farting around there and you go there, you know, if you go there, say if you went there like once a month, once every other couple of weeks, you'll probably see the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, if you give some time, you might see some new shit come in because people come in, they drop shit off or whatever, yeah. People buy stuff, whatever. And I'm always fascinated by just some of the comic or the action figures they have because they'll just have like these random ass figures there.
Yeah.
You know, they'll just be like, I don't know what the fuck to do with those here.
Yeah.
Like, I almost walked out of there with a Rancor Keeper action figure from the Power of the Force or the Power of the Jedi from the mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
I kind of wanted that because, I don't know, I have an idea for, like, Star Wars figures I want, but like, I just want, like, certain jerks.
Uh-huh.
You know? it's my bag.
This is your certain jerks section?
Yeah, you know, I was like, Rancor Keeper. I'm looking for maybe Nia Numb. I'm looking for Nia Numb. I'm looking for, the Bespin Cloud Guard. The Cloud Pilot. Cloud Car Pilot, excuse me. You know, with the mushroom head. Fuck, I don't care about the cards. There's a few others. But they have just random ass stuff there, and I love it. And it's kind of cool because what's also cool about it is that they will set up stuff in certain parts of the store that you didn't realize they might have set up before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll be like, oh, here's a display of these random things. Like, I didn't realize, too, that they have, like, a kids section.
Yeah.
And those have random ass action figures there that normally you would think would be with the regular section. Like, they had, like, WWE figures in that section that you think would be over with the regular stuff.
Right.
You know, the non-kid specific. And you're just like, oh, great. Well, I'll look around there. I picked up, and I'm actually excited. I knew I was going to do it. If I saw it again, it was the Funko. I'm trying to think what they were called, but basically they're like these horror. They had a series of like horror icons.
Yeah.
They had Jason. They have Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, and Pinhead. And you know, I've been to the few stores and I've seen them there, and they're not Funko like your typical Funko dolls, like action figures like that look like old school like.
Wrestlers, really. They're all ripped.
Well, they're ripped. They're like if you're familiar, I mean, if you're talking wrestling figures, they're like the AWA Remco figures. They're actually like any of like Remco figures, you know, that were produced like that. Just fucking jacked.
Like,
you know.
He-Man.
Yeah, well, actually, you know what? Like, yeah, exactly. Like He-Man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
super jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super jacked He-Man, and it's kind of cool, you know, looking. So, I think out of the four that they have, the Pinhead looks the most like Pinhead because they have other ones, but they have them in sort of like different, like sort of like made up kind of outfits or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Myers is pretty good, but the Hellraiser, the Pinheads, I like that one a lot, so I decided to go with that one. You know, because I don't want to spend all the money on them because they had all of them there, but I didn't want to just buy them all. So, but I did pick it up and I was very happy with that. And I did pick up a few comics. I was very excited for, I have a few of them actually sitting right here. I picked up an issue of X-Man,
uh-huh.
Which is a X-Men division thing, X-Men book that I never really quite got into. But this one, for some reason, has Abomination on it, and he's pointing at us while he's beating up Nathan or whatever the fuck his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also found, as far as miniseries goes, because I like collecting like random-ass miniseries, I found the remaining issues I needed for the Doc Samson 90s miniseries, as well as the Justice, the Marvel, whatever, Marvel Boy miniseries. I found that. And because I am obsessed with beginning and ends, I got myself the first issue of Black Wolf, a former episode.
Yes.
And the last issue of Black Wolf.
Oh, man.
Fucking A. And then I also picked up, a G.I. Joe yearbook thing. It's like, yeah, man, it's good stuff. And I've been kind of swearing off the single issues, mm-hmm. but I was just looking around and I just saw them sitting there and I was like, I'd be silly to not get these. And I was kind of glad I looked up for some of those mini series because you have to really search for those.
Right.
You know, you can find them somewhere, like online or whatever. But there's this thing. My tastes are so obscure.
True.
Not obscure, but they're so, it's not like people are like, I'm going to get all this Captain America run from the 90s or whatever. I'm going to get all this stuff. But it's like, no, I'm like, I need this. I need this dumb thing that nobody cares about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to satiate that need. And then today we went to, real quick. I wanted to point out, when I was talking to that guy at the place, mm-hmm. at the Rocky Mountain Con, he informed me about a flea market.
Oh, I know. You're so excited.
So, expect some flea market reports in the future.
Yes.
Because there's a Denver flea coming up in a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
There's apparently and that's just kind of more of like an artsy thing, I think, but we're still going to check it out. But then there's also, apparently, and Jen was holding out on me on this.
Well, I forgot about it, to be honest.
There's a straight up, you know, and it's apparently it's huge, but like an outdoor, indoor, gigantic. Outdoor. I think it's mostly outdoor.
Yeah, the Mile High Flea Market is.
The Mile High Flea Market.
Mostly outdoor, as far as I can. Like I said, it has been so long since I've been.
Right.
I was a kid. I think I was 9.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago because I'm very old. And, but it's still in operation and it's outside, but it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that's right up my alley. I got to see this. Because I used to love. Well, real quick, okay, so there's also another one. When I was talking to this guy, he informed me of a Colorado Springs flea market that you pay a couple bucks, you pay like $2, and you get to go, you know, it's like, but this one's also inside.
Uh-huh.
And it reminds me of when, as I've talked about back in the day, the flea market that in Buffalo or Cheektowaga, the Buffalo or the Super Flea, that myself and Benny used to go to
mm-hmm.
back in the mid-90s. That's where I really got into a lot of comics. You know, I got picked up a lot of books back then. You know, just a lot of my old school comic books that, you know, my brother I think mostly has. But there's a lot of stuff that I still do have, and also I think a few of my superpowers.
Ooh.
That I held on to from that time that I still, I think, like Darkseid is definitely one of them. Maybe Luthor. Maybe probably, I can't remember if it's Parademon or not. I don't know, but there's a few. And so it's pretty, I'm pretty jazzed for that. Because granted, it could suck. It could also be, there's places like, you know, in California, like there was like Frankensons.
Yeah.
That, but Frankensons is just like, man, like, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I don't like the Frankensons.
You know, it's just a terrifying place to go to because you're just fighting everybody and you're fighting parking, you're on a walk and it's not going to, I mean, I don't know if these places are any better, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. And And then as I was getting to, we went to, what did we go to today?
Oh, I don't remember exactly what it was called.
It was a Mayhem Market.
Yeah.
I think that. I remember
let
that
me
being...
see if I have it on my thing. It was.
I could best describe it as you look up that. It was best describe it as like a punk rock market.
Mayhem Market Flea Market. It was like their holiday market. And it was like a holiday market geared toward like people who really like metal and horror and goth music and punk.
Punk, yeah.
Kind of like a little alternative thing. And I saw an invite for it on Facebook. Just like randomly because it was public. And I was like, well, this sounds like something that would be right up my alley because I'm weird and I like, you know, goth shit. And Sean likes metal shit, so let's go. Yeah. So we went, and it was like this in this weird event center that's in a strip mall in Aurora somewhere.
That's where I was expecting it to be in like maybe like a separate building.
That's what I thought too, because it said event center, so I was expecting a separate building, but no, this was just like in a strip mall.
In a strip mall with
what used to be a club, but
there
is
was
no
a,
longer.
Clearly a club. But I've been to a few strip mall clubs.
Oh, me too.
As have you.
Yes.
And that brought back some memories. I thought it was like,
that's literally my entire like 20s was all those fucking clubs and strip malls.
It was like really cold out, you know, because it's cold out tonight or today, you know, and it was windy and or just the snow, the snow, and it wasn't bad, but it was blustery.
We got our coats on,
and I'm just like, this felt like. Like I was like, man, this really literally felt like something out of like 96.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? Had that place, if I had known about a place like that back in like 96,
it probably wasn't around, but
I'm sure it wasn't around. But if it had been, oh my God, teenage me would have been so happy.
You would have freaking lost your damn mind.
It would have been like the best thing that's ever happened to me. But we went in and you had to pay $5 to get in, whatever. And so you go in, and there's just like all these little vendors, and it was smaller than the comic book convention we went to.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, records and people making coffins and geeky.
Just like geeky knickknacks and stuff.
And,
yeah. Just bakers.
You know, a bunch of boots. There was like a whole rack of boots.
A lot of people that looked like there's this one, actually, the one guy, I was kind of amused. It was the one guy who had the nightmare. Before Christmas coffin.
He had
a homemade one.
Yeah,
it was like a little tiny. It was like basically like a case, but it was small.
Yeah, it was like a shelf, but it would look like a coffin. It was pretty cool looking. And he had a top hat.
You know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
From the goth guy.
Yeah.
From
except his hair was short, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there's that, and then. So we walked in. I don't know if this is because like one of those things where like fate. Intervenes because we were anywhere near the incident. Some guy, just as we were walking up to his table, because he had a bunch of like, he had some figures and he had some comics, he had some random shit.
Yeah, just knickknacks.
Just knickknacks and stuff that I was like, oh, I'm going to take a look. And as we're walking up there, like, he turned around and hit a chair.
Yeah.
That was by.
He had a folding chair leaning against the wall.
Yeah.
And he hit it, and it fell, and it hit his table, and it knocked off, like, a bottle.
No, it was a bottle. You know what it was? It was a bottle shaped like a Gatling gun.
Oh.
And it just shattered on the ground.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, no. And luckily, I was in front of the table, but I was, like, a good foot back.
Yeah, we were
it.
Anywhere near
so
it.
So nobody could have been like, oh, it was her. No, it was not me, obviously.
But
it
we were
him.
Walking.
And he even was like, oh, shit, I knocked it over.
Yeah.
You know, he knew he did it, so that was not the thing. But I was just like, okay, so he walked away, but Sean saw these, like, Dune action figures.
Right. So Dune action figures are a rarity because they're fucking Dune action figures.
Yeah, and these were, like,
if you want it,
they were, like, in their packaging.
Well, right, okay. First of all, if you ever wanted an action figure of Sting.
Yeah.
Of the singer Sting.
Yeah.
And if you ever wanted a Kyle MacLachlan action figure,
mm-hmm.
You can go. Dune will hook it. Dune's your route.
Yeah.
You can hook that up from the movie Dune.
Yeah.
The David Lynch film. But they did not have Baron Harkonnen. Had they had Baron Harkonnen, I might have bought it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But
it's still $85.
That's the thing, though, is like they're in the plastic. The plastic's not that good.
Nope.
They're not really graded, but he basically was like, these are 85. He probably looked online. It was like, how much do you sell for? $85? Great. These are $80.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to dispute it because it's Dune. It's like, if it was like a G.I. Joe thing or something, or if they were loose, you know, I would have tried to haggle.
Yeah.
But, no. Yeah, I was like, you know what, bro? Also, he just destroyed a glass
gun. Yeah, he knocked over his thing. He was
like,
having a hard day. We weren't going
to. I don't want to give this guy. Be like, hey, man, why don't you give me this Sting action figure?
Yeah. But I mean, like, this is the
off.
Type of place where, like, dudes in, like, studded jean jackets with, like, the back of a you know what I'm talking about. Like,
oh, with patches and stuff,
with
yeah.
With patches and then, like, what looks like their favorite t-shirt just cut out in, like, stuck on the back as a patch.
Yeah.
Also, somebody wearing a G.G. Allen patch.
Oh, I missed the G.G. Allen patch.
I saw that. I was like, oh, yeah. And I, you know what? I appreciate it because it's been so long.
Yeah.
Because I used to, you know, obviously when I went to shows and clubs and stuff, there were always those people there.
Yeah.
But I know they're in L.A. I just didn't ever see them that often.
Yeah. Well, it's not really, I mean, there's so many people in it. It's like,
there's
just
so many fucking people. Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things that it's just like, I'm glad Denver's still keeping it weird.
Oh, Denver keeping it weird. Yeah. That's what I like about that.
Real proud of Colorado. Still embracing it.
But there's some kind of bullshit too, because people were basically like, you're telling me like somebody like, there's like, oh, this woman had a candle and she took like a Bauhaus sticker and put it on there. And she's like, hey, this is like,
yeah, it was,
$20 or whatever.
Yeah. She's, there were, because there was a lot of like homemade crafts and stuff, which was cool. And one of them was like, you know, those candles that you see that have like Jesus painted on them.
Yeah, I forgot what they're called, but.
But you can buy them without Jesus on them. They're just blank. And literally they are a dollar, because I have bought them before, because in case of a blackout.
Yeah.
So we had like 3 or 4 of them in LA. I think I got rid of them because they melt like fucking crazy when it's hot in our apartment.
Uh-huh.
So I got rid of them. But yeah, they're only like $1. You can get them real cheap at Target, and they're just all sorts of different colors. And it's like she had bought that and then just put a sticker that you would just buy at like a record store that said like Sisters of Mercy and just put it on the candle, and she was selling it for $10. And I was like, you know, I could make this for literally like $4.50.
I could literally make this right now.
Right now. Right this fucking minute. And that's cool, and I'm glad you're like, you did it. But at the same time, I'm like, and good for you, but $10? Are you
good
kidding me?
Good for you.
I mean, if I get you're trying to do a markup and whatever, but that's not that much labor. You didn't like pour the candle,
right?
You know,
it is not. It is not shaped like Peter Murphy.
You didn't buy the wax stuff, yeah. Who we are going to see, by the way?
Right, right. I'm
very excited. February, he's coming.
I also
40th anniversary of Bauhaus. I'm so excited.
Yeah, man. But I was disappointed that they didn't have like a DVD vendor. It's like, hey, check out these sick movies. Here's fucking.
No, they just had like DVD.
Nightmare
concerts.
On Elm Street Part 3.5.
Yeah.
You know, this is in between. It's just me holding a Freddy glove being like, ah.
That'd be great.
just some guy selling in between sequels.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, actually.
Well, because there's like that one. Sometimes you go to like those conventions.
In LA, there was always that one guy who had all the like the bootleg pilots and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bootleg pilot man is.
He had all
He was the staple. You'd be walking
around.
He was
everywhere. It didn't matter what convention you went to, he was there.
See, now I'm actually thinking maybe, because I'm going to LA next week.
Uh huh.
Thinking if I have a time. Maybe I should go to Frank and Sons.
Well, that's up to you.
I don't know.
I'm not going. You're going for some wrestling.
I know. I'm going for some wrestling.
I'll be here.
This time next week, I'll be wrestling.
Yeah. Having a good time.
I'll be going to... I might actually try to see it. I don't even know if it's still happening, but... a no ring match in a bar
at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
At 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh God, what am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know. I'm too old to be doing this, but I might do it.
Yeah, go for it.
I might just oh man. Yeah, so we had some adventures this week and some things
some
like
stuff.
That. And so yeah, I'm looking really forward to going to a flea market. I'm gonna fuck some shit up there.
Yep.
We'll get there. I've been wanting to have that flea market experience that I used to have in Buffalo, and I'm hoping that this Colorado Springs one's gonna be something similar to that. Because this guy's like, yeah, there's other people like me there, and I'm, you know, it's like, well, hopefully you're not selling this shit as fucking expensive as you are. Maybe I could go somebody else that isn't you.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe we'll see. You know, yeah. I miss me a good flea market. So, but let's take our break, and we'll come back with our book for this week.
I prowl the rooftops and alleyways at night, looking for justice. Blind justice. A guardian devil.
Oh, I don't know why I do that to myself. Look, none of that is true. I'm not Daredevil, Marvel's blind lawyer by day and superhero by night. I'm J. David Weider, but you can call me Dave. I used to read Daredevil comics, enjoy Daredevil comics, and talk about Daredevil comics, and then I kind of stopped. Well, now I'm back with a new version of the old show. Daredevil Legends is the show where Daredevil, his allies, and his enemies all get put under a scope, get examined, and get discussed on a weekly basis. It's everything that you once loved in a Daredevil podcast, and much, much more to boot. So join me and Marvel's Man Without Fear and his enemies and allies every Sunday at daredevilpodcast.com, iTunes, and the podcatcher of your choice. Take the dare at daredevilpodcast.com. Daredevil Legends, the podcast without fear.
All right, we're back here at Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is... get ready for this. Sensation Comics, number 3.
From Volume 1, number 3.
Volume 1, number 3, from March 1942.
Oh, that is right. this is coming out of my Wonder Woman, The Golden Age, Volume 1 trade.
Yeah, so please don't believe that we actually...
I did not find this issue just laying around. No, this is out of a... this is a reprint in the trade that I bought at... where did I get this?
Pulp Fiction. Pipe Fiction in LA, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I got it used, and I was so excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was on sale.
That's a good place, by the way, Pulp Fiction LA, if you guys check that out.
Yeah, I found it on sale, and I was psyched, because I love these, the whole, like, the Golden Age, the Silver Age.
Yeah.
And the Bronze Age things that they've recently been releasing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, and this is perfect. You know, this is, her, you know, you get the, this is, like, the roots of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And
this is before her actual series. She's in Sensation Comics, but then there is Wonder Woman number one.
Right.
So before she had the book called Wonder Woman.
Right.
This is before that.
Yeah, and we're like, this is like her, literally her third appearance.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was thinking it'd be funny. It was like we actually had that comic. Like we just complained about spending $150 for an IRS version of Lois Lane.
Yeah, I'm not. No, I'm sorry. If I saw a Sensation Comics number 3, I would not spend the money to get it. I would just be like, look, that's cool. I'm not spending however much money.
Let me tell you, if we had...
unless it was like $2, and I was like, wait, why is this $2?
Let me tell
obviously
you.
Obviously a reprint.
If we had Sensation Comics number 3 money...
right?
I would have those Dune figures.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
if I was like, yeah, you know, whatever, I'll get these. Let me take these off your hand, buddy.
We do not have Sensation Comics number 3 money.
We do not. I don't even have Dune...
figure money.
Dune action figure. Dune mint on card money.
Nope.
So, guys, you know...
yeah, so no, this came out of a trade that I bought on sale. And you can probably buy it at your local comic book store because it came out, I think, the beginning of this year.
Yeah, it's yeah, these are red. So, yeah. Sensation Comics number 3, March 1942, Sensation Comics on the cover. You got Wonder Woman basically just
jumping into a boat.
It looks like she's just hovering.
It does, but I think it's supposed to be she's jumping from that dock.
From the pier, yeah.
From the pier, there is a very bearded man.
Oh,
kind of looks like Bluto.
It's Victor French from Highway to Heaven and My Little Prairie.
And he's shooting at her.
House on a Prairie.
My Little Prairie.
My Little Prairie.
And he's shooting at her, and obviously the bullets are bouncing off of her bracelets.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird, though, because she's like got her hands down.
It's a weird drawing. There are some weird... there's some questionable shit going on in this book.
Well, of course.
We'll talk about the anchor when we get there.
It's a 1942 comic book. Yeah. What do you expect?
So,
and this is written by the OG, Charles Moulton.
Yep, that is right. And oh, don't you worry. We get plenty of his weird sexual fetishes in this book.
That's what I was looking at. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's in here. Don't you worry. He's getting off.
Yeah, so... she's
he's not gonna let anything like a comic book prevent him from getting off.
Oh no, man, this guy.
So we start with just talking about like, oh my god, she's Wonder Woman, she's great, she's come to America to like bring her love and her wisdom, blah blah.
That's right. And she's throwing an anchor at a bunch of guys.
Yeah, and that's like
including the grandfather from or the grandfather from the Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there
he's,
he is.
He's getting murdered.
Grandpa Joe
is getting his comeuppance.
He sure is.
And I like
that was such a weird movie, sharing that bed with those other old people.
Hey,
I think they're all fucking.
Oh, you think it was a
it was an orgy.
Chocolate Factory key party going on?
Yeah, it was like a lemon party.
Lemon party!
But like, what is a lemon party when women are involved? Is it like a lemon and lime party, or how does that work?
Wait, is a lemon party just a bunch of
I always thought it was grandpa's fucking was a lemon party.
I don't know.
I'm not really up on my grandpa fucking terminology, so I don't know.
I don't know. We didn't.
Or my grandma fucking terminology.
Why didn't we brush up?
Really should have. So there's like a little inset here at the very bottom of the page, and it's Wonder Woman.
Well, I just want to point out, she's throwing this ring anchor at the Grandpa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess this is Steve Trevor behind him, but he's just kind of like,
He kind of looks, I don't know. It's very odd.
He looks very, very bemused.
Yeah.
With this action going on here while Wonder Woman throws his anchor. So in the inset, yeah, she's like, oh, Steve.
It's Diana Prince as a nurse, and she's like crying into a pillow because I guess Steve Trevor is no longer wounded.
Yeah.
And he's going to go back and do whatever it is Steve Trevor does
He's going to be a military boy.
So she's like weeping, and he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, I want to be your secretary because I want to be around you.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I already have a secretary. And she's like, so what? Maybe I could just, I'll be better, I promise. And so he's like, she says, I can take better dictation and I can type faster.
Yeah.
So you should have me. And he's like, all right, so I'll send you to my weird colonel guy.
What's it saying?
Kind of looks like Hitler.
It looks like Clark Gable.
Kind of like, but he's also got like the weird, like puffy pants, and like everything's brown.
Oh, he definitely does have puffy pants.
Sometimes it kind of looks like he has a Hitler mustache, but I think it's just a coloring thing.
Yeah, sometimes he's Hitler, sometimes he's Clark Gable.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So basically, this is like Steve's like boss or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, yo, why don't you go talk to this guy? And he can try. You could try out to be a secretary. And he's
like, why don't you want to be a nurse? And she's like, blood makes me sick.
Yeah.
I want to hang out with Steve Trevor because I really want his junk. I mean, that's like the real reason. He's like, all right, I'm going to make your life fucking hell, lady. Take this dictation. And he starts like giving her all these really big words and like talking really fast.
Well, he just basically just yells out. This is literally, just, I mean, it's words.
It's all together.
But it's all together. It is gibberish.
Yeah.
And so okay. I just want to say what's happening in the next page or so is pretty much just a woman learning how to be a clerical assistant.
Sort of. Her Amazonian brain like makes her really good at it.
Yeah.
So my favorite part about this whole thing is he like spouts off all this stuff and she's like, oh, well, I'll type it up for you. And she types it up and he's like, you're going too fast. You're going to make mistakes. But she doesn't. And then he reads it and he goes, you know, I didn't take any notes on what I was saying, but this is perfect. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know it's perfect if you didn't even know what you were talking about?
Right.
But whatever, lunatic. So then Steve Trevor's actual secretary comes in and she's like, hey, I'm Diana. I'm going to be his secretary part two or whatever. And then this woman's like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, literally. Like,
well, this is Steve's secretary.
Yeah.
And Steve's secretary's like, he's like, hey, fuck you.
They just get right into it. She's like, fuck you. She's like, what are you saying? She's like, I'm a better secretary. I don't know.
Eat my ass, ho.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, just instantly arguing with each other.
Ladies be arguing.
Yeah. So then she, his actual secretary, Lila, I think her name is,
yeah,
goes into Steve and he's like, hey, just want to let you know, Diana Prince sucks.
She sucks ass. She doesn't know the Pittman system,
yeah,
and how to take shorthand. She's like, I use Amazonian.
It's my own system that I made up. And he's like, I don't trust it.
I'm creating my own curriculum.
Pretty much. She is creating her own curriculum. And then the boss is like, he finds out that there's a spy somewhere,
yeah,
in his little organization. And he's like, we got to figure out who the spy is.
I like this boss. He's pounded on papers. Oh, no, I lost this page.
Oh, no, we'll never find it.
Never find out about Wonder Woman and her clerical situation. Anyways,
yeah.
So, he's like, fucking let's find the spy.
Yeah.
And so
they're like, if you think it's any of these, like a letter goes out or something. And it's like, hey, if you think it's any of these secretaries, let me know. And then Lila's like, well, Diana Prince is fucking weird.
Yeah.
I think it's her. But at the same
time, I saw her being like,
she says this to Steve and Steve's like, yeah, you're being ridiculous. So then
Diana's boss.
Yeah.
The colonel
calls him in and he's like, hey, you used to be a nurse. Go like examine all these women for spies.
Yeah. So
like just make them take their clothes off and see if that will tell you if they're a spy or not.
So
which I'm like, what?
The way you determined
fucking swastika tattoo on your stomach, and it just says like, "I am a spy."
It's like, yeah, it's like, oh, look at my ear. Yeah, she's like, oh, let me examine your ear. Oh my God, Hitler's in there. Das um Leben or whatever.
Oh my god, it's a U-boat. It's like in her vagina. I found 6 U-boats.
Oh boy. Yeah, just oh my god, D-Day's going on in your D-Day's going on in your
nostril. You don't know what D-Day is.
Nostril.
It's 1942, but trust me, it is happening in her nostril.
D-Day's going on her nostril, guys.
They're like, what's D-Day? You're like, you don't ask for 2 years.
But yeah, so she's testing this woman, this Lila, and in comes...
Yeah, Lila's like wearing a sheet.
Yeah.
In comes her sister, Eve.
Eve.
And she's like, give me this... Oh, cause she's got Lila in the blood pressure cuff. And she's like... Oh, her sister came in and like wants a letter. Her blood pressure's going up. That means she's lying about this letter.
Fucking Eve comes in. She's like, a man wants to see you, Lila. He wants that ammo!
Yeah, she's
God damn screaming. It.
He's like, no. And so like...
Diana's like, oh, shit.
So Diana is like, oh my God, she's tense. While she's standing here, I'm just going to go through her clothes. And then this...
I know.
Like, literally, she's like, I'm just going to look through the pile of clothes she left.
It goes
here.
Because where the way the
it's
panel
so,
goes,
yeah,
it's just like,
it's like
just,
her
it goes
sitting.
Yeah.
It's Eve standing there talking to her sister, who is like wrapped up in a towel or a sheet, and Diana taking her blood pressure. And the next thing we see is just this woman jumping on Diana's back with like a bottle in her hand,
yeah,
trying to hit her because and Diana's saying like, I have womanly curiosity. I want to look through your clothes.
Is that a thing?
Not that I'm aware of, but
can you just walk up to something and look through somebody's people stuff? Like, I have a woman's curiosity.
You
guys
have no idea what happens in ladies' dressing rooms. It's just a bench in which we all rummage through each other's stuff.
Oh man, it's like a flea market.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
nice.
What it is. We're like, oh, hey, I didn't
guys,
know this.
If you've ever wondered, for all you high school kids, it's like, what's going on in the ladies' room, in the girls' room, man? And it's like, it's just like a flea market.
It is, holy.
And it's just women being like, we have women's curiosity. Let's look through each other's shit.
Yep. Pretty much.
So
and so she like Diana punches this woman in the face and
fucking uppercuts
her. But at the same time, Diana is like, what the fuck is wrong with you going through this woman's shit?
Yeah.
And so she finds a letter, I don't know, something.
She finds a letter, basically it's like a plan for
spies.
They're gonna try to intercept Steve Trevor and keep him from basically try to capture Steve Trevor and whatever.
And so this woman comes too, and she's like, oh my God, you don't understand. And she's like, no, you're a spy. She's like, no, let me explain it to you. Meet me at like 6 or something.
Right.
And we'll talk. And she's like, okay, well, all right. I'm not going to tell these dudes anything then.
So then later, Steve Trevor leaves.
Because he's got to go like do a thing.
Do a thing in New York. He leaves for New York with the secret plans, and then some. This guy who looks like Hitler.
That's what I kept telling you.
No, this guy here. This is not the same guy. This is the boss, but this is Hitler shows up.
I think that's Steve Trevor.
No, that's not Steve Trevor. Oh. Steve's got blonde hair.
Well, he's wearing a hat.
But he has a Hitler mustache.
Well, that's what I mean. There's coloring errors that makes all these dudes look like Hitler.
He says here, stop Trevor, Colonel. Enemy agents are on the train, on the New York train. They'll get Steve and get the formula. This is what Hitler's saying to his boss.
They all look like Hitler to me. It's a weird coloring error. Oh, they literally all look like Hitler.
And he's like, and he's like, oh, no, Hitler left. And he's, Trevor left. And he's like,
Steve Hitler.
He said, well, your secretary is, so the tip-off came from, it was a woman's voice, so a woman randomly called.
Well, it must have been Lila, we think.
No, Eve.
No, she's trying to cover for her.
Oh.
So she calls and blames it on Diana, because Diana has the letter. So Diana has to, like, get stripped down by a nurse, and her shit gets gone through. And that's like, oh my god, you have this letter. But it's this weird picture of Diana, like, standing in front of a giant pile of clothes on a chair and like humongous, she's very tall, wearing nothing but a towel, and this like nurse just scolding her.
Yeah, and she finds a letter and she's like, ah, look, here it is, this convicts you, this, you'll look pretty behind bars. And it's like, and Diana's just like, oh
yeah.
So here's
so
where
they're like, oh, but your rank. So she gets brought in front of her boss, and her boss is like, treasonous whore. But your rank precludes me from like doing anything, so we're just gonna lock you in your quarters. And she's like, okay, cool.
And then so she's like, I'll become Wonder Woman.
And so she becomes Wonder Woman, and she just jumps out a window.
Yeah.
And then she jumps over to Lila's place, jumps out her window. Lila's like, oh my god, what's going on? And so she puts her on a bench and she's like, what the fuck? And so this is where we find out that Lila's not really a spy. It's her sister Eve.
Yeah.
Eve fell in love with some German dude.
Well, I like...
So who was like a Nazi. Well, it was gross.
Yeah, so every time they say... It's kind of funny because they'll be like, it's gross!
Yeah. You know?
So the Nazi gross.
Yeah, so she fell in love with this guy she didn't realize was a Nazi. And she told him something that she shouldn't have told him. So then he held it over her head. And now she has to like do all this stuff. And Lila's in on it because she doesn't want her sister to get in trouble.
So from wherever they're at, they're sitting in like a bench.
A park.
And Diana's like, or Lila's like, Gross has a speedboat in the Potomac River. So we're in DC, I assume.
Yeah.
So, and, Potomac.
Yeah.
And so she's like, let's go catch the speedboat. And they just happen to find it. And Diana grabs this woman.
Takes her with her.
I don't know why she... Well, you know why? Because she needed Lila to identify this gross Nazi.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, and she's like, this sucks. It's cold. And she's like, just keep swimming, bitch.
Yeah, so she like swims to this... No, she really is. She like swims. She's kind of a bitch in this book. Diana is kind of an asshole in this book, and she's kind of more violent than I think we see her.
Yeah,
typically, just to like normal people, like outside of like battle, she's just trying to get information out of this guy, and she's kind of mean.
Well, yeah, so she catches up with this boat, and then
climbs on board, and she's like, "Is that gross?" And she's like, "Yeah, that's him." And she just like.
She goes, like, yes, that's gross. I like
that. Yeah, yes, that's gross. And she's just like, hey, little man. And she's like grabbing his arm and like picking him up. And she's dunking him. She's basically waterboarding this dude.
Yeah.
Like hanging him, doing a Batman, holding him by the heel and just dunking this fucker off the side of the boat. She's like, talk, you know, whatever. And then he basically, because she waterboarded the fuck out of him. So then she's like,
I'll sit on you so the water comes out of you and you tell me what happened.
Yeah. And so he finally tells her like, blah, 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 blah.
He's like, yeah, train. We're
going to get Steve Trevor.
We're going to get Steve Trevor, blah, 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 formula.
And then she uses a power I didn't know she had.
Well, I just want to point out real quick. So this drawing here of this gross guy.
Looks like he has boobs.
He has a great rack.
Yeah, he's got a great rack.
He also looks like Vince McMahon a little bit. Like okay, when he's in casual, like, you know. Like
casual McMahon.
Casual Vince.
Yeah.
You know,
and
he's like, hey, I'm going to come out there and dance, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. I was like, oh no, but Diana's beating up Vince McMahon. But yeah, so apparently she has the power to basically
send radio transmissions with her mind.
So, okay, so she's using like a sort of telepathy,
yeah,
a brainwave, but she's only sending it to a radio that Etta Candy has.
Yes. Yes. And it tells her to like get a whole bunch of women and like go to this train.
It's like, yo, get your crew together. We're going to beat up some dudes.
And Etta Candy's wearing like a romper. I don't know what's happening. She looks like a boxer.
Yeah, I know. For some reason, she's dressed like she's like about to like. She's like, I was just about to go 10
really,
rounds.
I mean, like, really, I could see Ronda Rousey wearing this. It's like just like a tank top and shorts.
Oh shit, Ronda Rousey should cosplay this.
She really should
come to the ring and be like, "I'm Etta Candy. Fuck you."
So they all go down to the train station. Meanwhile, Eve is trying to intercept Steve Trevor.
Well, I want to point out here, and this is because it comes up later. Etta Candy runs out with two boxes of candy under her arms.
Yeah,
for some reason,
I don't know what the deal is.
Her last name is Candy.
But yeah, just because you don't have to lean into that. I mean, or you do, I guess. I don't know. So Eve is like, "Hey, Steve Trevor, maybe we can talk. There are spies or whatever." She basically hands him over to the Germans. A letter drops, which I'm assuming are the plans that he has or the formulas or something.
Yeah.
And Eve picks it up, I think?
Eve picks it up because they're also what the Nazis are supposed to kill the girl too.
Yeah.
And so she takes off with the plans while they're beating up on Trevor. And then they go...
And she gets intercepted by Etta and her gang. And
she gets intercepted by Etta and her gang, and then they basically are like, we're gonna go.
They're like shaking this girl. I mean, they have her by the arms and like holding her, and Etta looks like she's gonna start like boxing at any second. And some dude just walks over. And
actually, Etta's eating candy in this thing. She's got the candy. She's got like a thing in her hand. And then she turns, and
this guy's like, "Hey, what are you doing to that lady?" And she's like, "We're just initiating her into our sorority. Have some candy." Because, I don't know.
Well, because they proceed to blindfold her, too.
Yeah, there's all sorts of weird shit, and this guy just, like, looks normal to me.
Hey, it's 1942. This is good.
Yeah, you know what?
You know what? Nothing like this ever happens. I'm just going to assume.
Everybody's naive in 1942.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knew shit.
Yeah. So we're on, a steamship. I'm assuming we're going to Germany. We're heading that general direction.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Trevor is laying on the... This is the funny part to me. He's laying on the dock.
Yeah.
Or the boat. He's on the boat. And they're hanging a giant anchor above him. And if he doesn't talk, they're going to let it go and crush him. But if they let it go and crush him, it's so heavy, it's going to go through the boat.
Yeah.
Probably sinking them.
Yeah, it's
not the best plan.
Well, the idea is that they're going to let more pressure down, and they're going to let this. The idea would be to crush him.
Like Giles Corey in Salem.
Yeah, doing the Giles Corey, and then just kind of after he's dead, just lifting it up and be like, all right, let's put that anchor back.
Because I didn't know if they were just going to drop it outright.
No, I think they're just slowly doing it. Which I think is, I was thinking, okay, if you got a bunch of dudes, what if one dude isn't able to hold it?
Not only that, but there's got to be better ways to torture somebody.
I could just
tie him to a chair and start punching.
You can.
At least you don't run the risk of sinking a boat if you do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many better ways for Nazis to torture.
I mean, really.
You know, William Moulton was not.
He wasn't as into man torture.
Isn't the man torture? He's like women torture. He's like, yo, I could bound and gag those. You know, let's bound and gag this chick.
Yeah, he's like, but maybe this was his thing. He loved having huge weights on him.
Oh man,
because this is, we'll get to it, but so,
oh man, please put a bunch of logs and kitty litter on me or whatever.
Anything heavy. So Wonder Woman and her speedboat show up. She jumps onto the deck, kicks a Nazi in the back.
Oh yeah, well, she kicks this, so this guy here, Chucky's father from Rugrats, is surprised. And she's kicking this dude in the back, which is kind of like, oh?
Yeah, he's like, what?
He's like, what? Am I being kicked? Oh, man. You know?
And then she gets the anchor, and she just, starts throwing it at dudes. Again, really should sink the entire ship.
Yeah, she throws it. It literally just crushes these dudes. Like, Grandpa Joe gets murdered. And so she's like, she saves Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And
they start shooting at her, and all the bullets are going everywhere.
Well, she comes out, and the... some of the Nazis show up, and she's like, more playmates!
Yeah.
She's really excited here to take on a bunch of dudes. She's having a grand old time. And yeah. Steve, you know, while she's beating up these prisoners, you know, or beating up these Nazis, Steve's like, oh, man!
Yeah, he's like, look at her, what a woman. So then we go back to Etta Candy's apartment with Lila to be like, okay, we're gonna get your sister. And when we walk in, it is all of these women surrounding Eve, the sister, who is on her hands and knees and blindfolded and being paddled.
Yeah. And she's got dirt on her face. And and Etta's sitting there calling her, you bum spy.
Yeah.
You can't even locate a piece of candy.
Yeah, they're like, hit her harder, do it. They're like paddling this woman.
And then one girl says, let's give her the Hitler cure. I don't know exactly what that was going to be.
Is it death?
I don't know. Are they going to, Hitler cure?
What does that mean?
Is that like.
They're going to shave her? Maybe if you shave off Hitler's mustache?
Oh, they're going
to. He no longer has his genocide.
Let's glue a mustache to her face and shave it off.
Maybe it means her bush. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on.
You know, I would have put it past it. If I kind of disappointed that Wonder Woman showed up.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's see where this goes.
I think we know where this is going.
Because basically right now, they're basically like, haha, you can't find this candy bitch.
This is going to be Brutal Angels or whatever the fuck. One of those porn sites where it's all
Punish Tube.
Yeah, it's almost BDSM, and it's just women just being spanked and shit.
Look, I mean, that's...
Hey, if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. This guy was into it, and that's fine, but it was just so weird that he turned into a comic book.
Yeah, this is
a comic book that was so influential that she's still one of the biggest characters of all time.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you would go
that's
back
weird about it.
And, and read these things and be like, oh, it's like, especially if you had a kid.
Yeah.
Or, like, a young teenager, and she's like, oh, man, Wonder Woman. She's my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and read this, and then you see this.
Yeah.
You know, this is, like, the third appearance of Wonder Woman. It's like, hey, check out this story where she's beating up some Nazis. And then it's like you got Etta Candy being like, ha ha, you can't get this nougat.
Literally paddling a woman at her
hands
and knees.
While she gets paddled. So thankfully Wonder Woman shows up and she's like, hey, can you, like, let her go?
And the fact that nobody caught on to it.
What do you mean?
That's the thing. Like, this was being published. No one understood that he was putting his fetish into print. No one caught it. I mean, I'm sure a few people did, but not enough for this to, like... Like, if you publish this today,
well, you'd be it like, was published today.
No, but I mean, like, if this came out originally today, you'd be like, whoever wrote this is totally into bondage.
Yeah, if this was like in like an issue of Wonder Woman,
the
like right
minute,
now.
Yeah, the minute you fucking saw it, you'd be like, oh, okay.
Like, clearly,
I see what's happening here, but nobody saw that.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah. No, it's intense, and so Wonder Woman's like, what the fuck, Etta? Why'd you beat her up? And she's like, I did not tell you the tortures girl is this Eva? Yeah.
She's no, like, I wasn't tortured.
She's like, I was pretty cool. Now I'm like, I feel I've been, I committed treason. So like, why don't you like send
put
me
some
to jail?
Handcuffs on me and send me to jail.
But then Diana's like, we see later when she goes back with Steve to talk to possibly Hitler.
Yeah.
And she's like, cause here he might be Hitler.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, we need to atone for this. And she's like, you know what? Let Eve go home and let her go to college. That's all she needs is education.
Yeah.
So instead of jail, you have to go to college.
Uh-huh.
So she needs some crippling student debt.
Well, she needs to be spanked a little bit more, apparently.
And also, or the Hitler cure.
Well, I mean, it is a dormitory, so maybe that's why she's like, send her to college.
Is the Hitler cure, is it basically like Robert Smith, but dressed as Hitler?
Yes. Then that's exactly what it is. It's just a tribute band to the cure, just dresses Hitler's.
Oh,
I just don't know how that would work out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't see how anybody who's like really into Hitler would also be into the cure.
Yeah, and no, I think those are two separate.
Yeah, those
things.
Are two totally different things.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're into Rammstein, you might also be into the cure. I mean, they're German. They're not Nazis, but I guess if you're trying to bridge the gap.
Yeah, but I feel like the cure doesn't. It sings more about like
emotions,
love, and emotions, and girls who eat sandwiches or whatever.
Right. Because I've listened to Friday I'm in Love for so many years, and there's I swear, I don't know if anybody else wants to correct me on this, if you are a Cure fanatic. What are the Cure fans called?
I don't know.
Cure,
I don't think they have a name.
Curians?
It's not like being a fan of like Rihanna or something.
Does Rihanna have a name for her fans?
Yeah, and I can't remember what it is. Nicki Minaj calls all of her fans Barbies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's some of them have names.
They have that line in there where I swear they say it's such a beautiful sight to see you eat in the middle of the night. He's singing about this girl and he's in love, but she's also anorexic, maybe.
I don't know.
And he's like, I'm glad to see you eat.
What if they just like went to Denny's like late at night and he's like, man, this is great. We get to fucking eat at a Denny's at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I would love to see Robert Smith at a Denny's. I'm not going to lie.
I'm certain he's been to a Denny's.
I don't know about that.
I mean, when you're touring, sometimes you don't have any other options.
He probably ate on the bus.
Do you think they just go in and get the Denny's?
Yeah, somebody's bringing a Denny's.
You don't have any other options sometimes. You get like a fucking Denny's. You eat it at Denny's.
Tour manager goes out. I need 4 moons over Miami.
Yeah. Brings them back in their styrofoam containers.
Styrofoam containers. Like, here you go, cure. Eat your moves on Miami. We gotta get to fucking.
Well, if they're on the bus, you can just eat in while somebody else drives.
Yeah, he's staying in the bus. Yeah, so yeah, so he's not eating. Robert Smith is not eating a cure, but maybe maybe the one time he did.
Yeah,
he was happy. He was eating with a woman.
Yeah,
that he is fancy, and he was like,
this is great.
This super bird is great, but I'm really happy to be eating with you in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's awesome.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And Nashville. Or maybe they went to a Waffle House. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have to be like in the middle of nowhere. In Green River, Utah.
Yeah. I wonder if you have any fans of Green River.
I don't think anything's in Green River. Last time we stopped in Green River.
Oh, man. So that's basically, everybody's like, Steve Trevor, you're fucking dope. And he's like, how'd you do it? And he's like, no, it was Wonder Woman. Oh, man.
My beautiful angel.
And then Wonder Woman's having
Diana.
Yeah, Diana. She's like,
just like, I'm... But she's drawn as a nurse again. Well, she's not a nurse anymore.
Mm.
But she's like, oh, he loves her. I'm jealous of myself. And that's how this ends.
Because he loves her, but he doesn't love me. I'm sad. And that's it for Sensation Comics number 3, March 1942. Would you want to read the next issue of this? I'm looking at the cover here.
This whole trade eventually.
She is breaking a chain in the next issue here, beating up a bunch of...
If a man is tying her up, she loses all of her power.
Does that still go today?
No,
I don't think it does. I mean, granted, I don't think she also has that telepathy that she uses here either.
No. It's kind of like Superman; its powers have changed over the years.
Yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit.
So
yeah, well, it's the same thing. Kind of like, what was it with Aquaman and stuff like that? We were talking about that. Well, that's it for this week's episode, and I'll read this. I'll get around to reading that too. But that's it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening. Please check us out on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook at Worst Collection Ever. And you can email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And, of course, if you would be so inclined, if you like the show, please tell a friend, leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever it is you get the show. We would really appreciate that. So, thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.